Hey. So my name's John Sage. I'm with Accessible Travel Solutions. And we've heard a lot of really great speeches and presentations in the past couple days that talk about what people are doing at the city level, the regional level, or the country level. What I'm going to try to do is zoom out and take a step back and look at Europe as a whole. And specifically, I'm going to focus on differences between places, because I think there's a lot to be learned there. And really where this talk comes from, the top eight accessible tourist destinations in Europe, is that everybody, whether disabled or able-bodied, is limited by one of or more of three things. It's either time, it's money, or it's energy. And so nobody has all the time, all the money, all the energy to see everywhere they want in Europe. It's just nobody does that, whether they're in a wheelchair or not. And so the question is, how do you prioritize your trips? And so there are a ton of great destinations in Europe for the international tourist. And these are what I consider to be the top eight. So after these, there's still plenty of other great destinations to explore. But we'll start with these. Okay, so these are my general criteria, because I have to explain this. So first, this is focused on accessibility now. It's not focused on what accessibility used to be and how much improvement has been made. So it's not an award. It's not about who's made progress. And it's also focused on current accessibility. So we have a lot of clients who have ALS or degenerative multiple sclerosis or something where this is their last trip. So while all the advocacy and the improvements in accessibility are fabulous, they don't have 5 years or even 2 years to wait around for improvements. So what we try to do is figure out what's the best accessible route and the accessible vacation that can be planned right now. And so that's one of the things that we took into account, that I took into account for this criteria. Also, I focused on popular destinations. Most people that are traveling from outside of Europe to Europe, they're gonna start with Italy, Paris, and London before they, you know, some combination of those before they go anywhere else. And so that's important that you know, focus on the popular destinations, the one they've always heard about, the bucket list places they've always dreamed about. You know, that's where they're going to want to go first before they look at some of the smaller destinations that are also great. I mentioned it is from an international tourist perspective. It's not from a residence perspective. And what I base this on is my accessibility inspections. I've been to, I think, 160 European cities, something like that, to inspect accessibility. We also base it on internet search traffic. We have a website called safetraveling.com that gets a whole lot of traffic, and so we know what people are asking for. And that's based on, you know, we have had tens of thousands of trip requests, and I can search them and I can plot them, and I know which ones are the most desirable. It's also based on client feedback. So we do hundreds of trips a year for disabled people. It's not based on TripAdvisor advice. So TripAdvisor advice, there is a ton of bad information out there on TripAdvisor, and it's well intentioned, you know. But somebody with a disability posts something, hey, how accessible is this town? And somebody who doesn't really understand that individual's accessibility needs makes a best guess suggestion, but it's not very accurate for that individual. And when it changes, when accessibility changes, nobody takes that TripAdvisor page down. So it's not based on TripAdvisor. It's not based on my friend told me, because again, they often don't have the experience, the perspective of a disabled person. And I don't have any favorites here, so I'm not from France or Spain or Germany or Italy or anywhere. So this is just based on, this is what's most popular and this is what we recommend. Okay, specifics, this is the specific criteria. So cobblestones, and you can see the picture there. So not only how prevalent are they, the abundance, but also the smoothness. So the Grand Place here in Brussels, is not smooth. That's, if you've tried to roll a wheelchair over there, you will definitely feel the bumps and you'll go really slow. Flatness, you know, lack of hills, proximity of sites to each other. That's one thing I haven't heard too much about this trip. So some cities like Florence, you're kind of walking rolling distance between all the main tourist attractions. And then others like London, they are very spread out. You're gonna have to use transportation of some type to get between them. Also, public transportation, and really that's a money saver more than anything, because there are places without public transportation that just mean you have to book accessible private transportation, and it drives up the cost of your vacation. English spoken, just because as disabled travelers, we need to be able to communicate our needs, and English is the most widely understood. And then I have an overall accessibility rating in here that kind of takes all of those into account. But the thing that I get to do as a tour operator is be subjective. So the last two things are the quality of sites and the quantity of sites. So I can tell people, you know, they say, should I go to Ghent, Antwerp, or Brussels? Well, I have an opinion on that. And based on talking to a lot of clients and their opinions, I can give an opinion on that. I'm not tied to any one destination. And also the quantity of sites. So we get a lot of requests. I want to visit Italy, and I want to go to Rome, Florence, Venice. How many nights should I spend in each place? And so we can tell them. We say, 4 nights Rome, 4 nights Florence, 2 nights Venice. You can do it 4-3-3, but you end up spending more because the Venice hotels are more expensive. So those are some of the things that go into this these rankings. Okay, so number 8. So we're going to get down to number 1. So number 8 is Interlaken. You can see the photo there. You can see most of it. That's something I just took with my phone. Every direction I pointed my phone was a beautiful picture. So it's spectacular scenery. They have accessible trains, buses, and gondolas. The challenge there is figuring out the routes and figuring out the timing, because you have to use combinations of buses, trains, and gondolas to get up to Schilthorn in one direction and the top of Europe in the other direction, and then figure out how long does that take. Is this a half day? Is it a full day? And so that's the biggest challenge there, but that's number 8. That's a great destination. Number 7, Amsterdam. So it's a flat city center. It does have good building access features with the Rijksmuseum and the Van Gogh Museum and the boat tour. It's a very unique city that people enjoy going to. The biggest challenges are the cobblestones that are pretty prevalent there, and the accessible, the public transportation. So you can kind of see the tram. There's a little bit of gap there. Some of the tram stations are accessible and some aren't. And it's not really easy to figure out which ones are which until you actually see them in person. Number 6, Venice. So this is, you're crazy, Venice with a wheelchair, that's nuts. And I've heard that a lot. So with Venice, so my thought on Venice, and this is where TripAdvisor comes in, was I saw everything. It said, you cannot go to Venice in a wheelchair. You cannot do it. It's impossible. I've been there 4 times. I love it. It's great. It's one of those places where going on your own, if you haven't scouted out accessibility or you're not familiar with the layout of the land, you can run into some problems. Absolutely, you can get yourself into a bind. But like a lot of places, if you have some expertise that you lean on and you get a little bit of help, you can definitely avoid all those bridges and all those canals in a wheelchair. It does have accessible vaporetto, which are water buses, and water taxis. You can kind of see in that picture, it's covered up a little bit, but there's sometimes a step between the dock and the water bus, and it depends on that the distance of that step depends on how many people are on the boat. So you have to wait for the people to get off the boat so that it rises and it gets flatter. And that works for a lot of manual wheelchair users, but for electric wheelchair users, sometimes it doesn't work. And so you do have to book the private accessible water taxis. Also, the city of Venice did something great. They developed these maps about which neighborhoods are accessible. Where can you go from a given Vaporetto shuttle stop? Which neighborhoods can you explore without running into a canal or a bridge? That was really helpful. For the first time that I went there, it said what is possible, but it didn't say how should I spend my time. And I think as a tour operator, that's a big part of my responsibility, is saying, okay, well, here's the 8 neighborhoods that are accessible. Now, you have 2 days. You don't have the time to visit all of them. How should you link them together? What should you visit? Should you go to the Doge's Palace and St. Mark's Cathedral and Square? And then should you go to some of the Rialto? Should you go to some other places? And so that's one of the things that we work on, is really not only seeing what is possible, but how should you spend your time for your specific abilities and your specific interests. Number 5, Tuscany. So I love Tuscany, and it's great because it has a small city center in Florence that's fairly walkable and rollable. But for some people want to drive on their vacation, particularly North Americans, they say, I'm going to rent a car. And sometimes they'll say that, I'm going to rent a car in Paris. And I say, no, you don't want to do that. You will spend all your entire trip trying to find a parking space. You'll spend a ton of money, and it's going to be a huge pain. But in Tuscany, you can do that. You can drive between small towns and small cities and drive through the countryside and go to wineries. So if driving a vacation is your thing, Tuscany is a good place for that. The biggest challenges are the cobblestones and hills in some of the small towns and knowing which small towns are accessible. So Siena is accessible depending on what you want to do and what your abilities are. Pienza is very accessible. Cortona, don't do it. There's one accessible road through town. I know it's in the novel Under the Tuscan Sun and people want to go see that, but there's only one street through the whole town that you can visit. So skip it, go somewhere else. Salzburg. So I visited Salzburg for the first time last year and absolutely loved it. So it's great because it's a small old town. It does have some mild cobblestones, but you know all the attractions are kind of right there, so you can walk roll between them. But it also has excellent day trip options. So you can go to the town of Hallstatt, you can go to Hitler's Eagle's Nest. There's a bunch of towns and lakes and mountains that you can go see. And so I mentioned the cobblestones are a minor challenge. And there's in the old town, which is, I think it's the south side of the river, there's very few accessible hotels. So you actually sort of need to stay in the new town and then cross the river each day to see the attractions. But it's a great destination. Berlin. So Berlin, one of my theories that I have that why Berlin is so accessible is it was bombed a lot in World War II. So you don't see very many cobblestones there compared to other German cities. And it's very flat, good building access features, you know, the museums there, the German History Museum is great. Here's the Brandenburg Gate with one of our clients in front of it. The Reichstag is right around the corner. The memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe is right around the corner. Unter den Linden is they're all right there. It's all very flat, good curb cuts, everything. The biggest challenge is, it was a city divided for many years, and so East Berlin is further apart from West Berlin, and so you do need to take public transportation there. The other thing I really do like is they have a website there that explains which elevators to the subway are out of service. And that's something that I haven't seen a lot of places, so that's very helpful. Number two, Barcelona. So I've heard in a few different talks about how accessible Barcelona is, and it is. It is very accessible. The city center is fairly flat. The Gothic quarter, which is sort of outlined in that map below, it has very few cobblestones for a Gothic quarter compared to other Gothic quarters in medieval city centers in Europe. It has good building access features, so there's ramps into most of the buildings. There's plenty of accessible hotels. Most of the attractions are within walking distance inside the Gothic city, inside the city center there. But there are some long distances to reach other sites that you'll need transportation. So to reach Park Güell and Sagrada Familia and some of the other places, you will need transportation. But it is a great destination. So before I get to number one, you can start thinking, what am I going to have number one? So I'll say Barcelona, the difference between number one and number two is quantity of sites is really what it is. So in Barcelona, I would say 3 or 4 days. If somebody comes to me and they are kind of mid-range disability and mid-range interest, mid-range budget and everything, I'd say 3 or 4 days, you know, maybe 2 days if you're about to get on a cruise ship. But to see most of the sites, you can see the Gothic Center, Sagrada Familia, Park Güell, Picasso Museum, go to a beach, a few things. You can do that in somewhere between 2 to 4 days. The number one, in my opinion, is London. There's about 14 days worth of things to see there. And some of the accessibility features, excellent building access, so the building codes there are very good. It is... The bus system is very accessible. They're working on having the underground metro be made accessible, but I don't think it's quite there yet. The accessible black cabs is a huge thing for wheelchair users. To be able to hail down any taxi and it has a wheelchair ramp, you don't have to call one, you don't have to book an accessible van in advance, is just hugely liberating. And I wish every city in the world had those black cabs, because they really are a big, big difference. It also, like Berlin, it was bombed heavily, so very few cobblestones there, and it is very flat for the most part. The biggest challenge is scheduling, because you have so many things to see. How do you try to fit it all into a trip? And so, you know, some of the attractions there, when I say 4 days, 14 days of things, so it's Buckingham Palace, the Changing the Guard, Westminster Abbey, Cabinet War Rooms, the Imperial War Museum, a bunch of art museums, the British Museum, which has archaeology from all over the world, St. Paul's Cathedral, a bunch of theater shows there, London, Tower of London and the Crown Jewels. Then, that's just a few of the things inside London. Then you have day trips, Windsor Castle, Greenwich, Salisbury and Stonehenge, Oxford, Cambridge. And so there's, you can easily spend a week or two there and you're not going to be bored at any place, and you're not going to run into a whole lot of challenges. Okay, last slide. So this is, these are four, the last part is the four of the most difficult destinations. So Istanbul, the picture on the left there is a wheelchair ramp into a hotel, which obviously, and they conveniently put a plant right at the top to make it even more difficult. So Istanbul, lots of hills, lots of cobblestones, the trams during rush hour are extremely crowded. Yet, I've been to Istanbul three times, and it is a great place if you kind of know what you're doing and you make the right decisions planning your trip. Athens, similarly, lots of hills, lots of cobblestones. Cinque Terre, this is the one of the only places that I haven't been that I would like to go, but my brother knows my abilities and he said, just don't try it. There's stairs all over the place. And then Edinburgh, which is shown in the lower right, has a bunch of hills as well. And so you just want to be sure that you plan correctly to roll from Edinburgh Castle down to the Palace of Holyrood House rather than go the opposite direction. Even though these are difficult, there are still, they're doable. With the right expertise and a little bit of help, they are doable. And so what we do as tour operators is we don't just tell you what is accessible. We tell you how should you spend your time, how should you visit the city, and not just the general you, but the specific you. We get to know our clients and learn what are your interests, your budget, your abilities, your time frame, and we say, okay, well, this is how we propose that you should visit this city. And I think that's something that's very valuable to disabled travelers, is to have somebody with the expertise to customize a trip for you. Thank you.